This program is part of the Infinite Potato Alliance. Visit us at infinitepotato.com.
This is Jared Stern.
This is also Jared Stern.
And you're between two Sterns.
How you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. Well, listen, today is not yesterday, and I'm very happy about that.
What was yesterday?
Yesterday was a bad day.
What happened?
Well, nothing super serious. Everything's okay. Fine. Everyone is fine. Andrea, we're recording this on Tuesday, so yeah. On Sunday night, because we have a little four-legged princess.
Oh, Winnie, yes.
Yes, who does not like to go outside in any kind of inclement condition whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We had some icy back stairs that she had navigated with no problem before, but she got spooked for some reason. Didn't want to go outside to go do her business. We let her outside right. In the back. She goes and does it herself. That means we don't have to put her on a leash and walk her around the block to do it. Anyway, yeah. So Andrea is trying to coax her outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she walks down the steps. It's a little icy in our backyard. And Andrea is not the surest of foot, like newborn colt. So she took a little spill. And thank goodness nothing super serious. She's just got some bruises. She's sore.
Yeah.
But as a precaution, yesterday she wanted to go to the emergency room just to get x-rays, make mm-hmm. sure nothing's fractured, nothing's, you know, she wanted to get checked out by a medical professional, which
yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with that. However, in our preparation, during our preparation to leave, we lost power.
Oh my God, this was going on? Because I was talking to you about the losing power thing. Yeah. I didn't realize that this was going on as well.
Yeah, there was some kind of, I guess, a transformer blew or something like that, and the entire...
So yours wasn't weather related.
It might have been. I'm not sure. I know that there were the Pepco trucks, or you know, the electric company people were. They were like half a block down from our house, trying to get it repaired. Anyway, so power goes out at like 8:30, 9 in the morning, and we're trying to. I'm like, okay, well, get everything you need, and I'll drive you down to the hospital. Well, power goes out. Our garage is completely electric.
Oh my God.
So couldn't get the cars out. And so she had to, Uber down to the emergency room, and then Jesus. Uber home, because we were not, still didn't have power by the time she came back. And that meant no heat. And that meant no TV, no Wi-Fi, no beer and no TV, make Homer something. I could never be Amish. I could never in a million years be Amish. Mostly because my PlayStation 4 has buttons on it. It's very proud.
Yeah, no, I feel like the Amish, there are two groups of people that are really handling the pandemic well right now. And it's the Amish, for which life has barely changed for them.
Sure.
And then it's gamers, people who play video games, because staying inside and not going outside and not talking to anybody and staring at a screen for days on end, I feel like I've prepared for most of my life.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of the pandemic, it was kind of like, okay, this is cool. Like I'm okay right now. You know,
right.
I have my people who I game with, but yeah, that's too many things on top of each other, Jared. It's not just the power going out or the electricity or the Wi-Fi, but also the spill and the going to the hospital during COVID.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah. So
it's too much.
Plus she did not have much of a breakfast. So she didn't have anything to eat until she got home back home at like fucking 4. Like it was, yeah. So
now,
it was
just, I'm going to ask a follow-up question, and this is not a trap, but there's just an inquiry. You did not go with her to the hospital.
Well, I don't think I was going to be allowed to
that's
wait
fair.
With her.
No, that's fair.
So there's that.
I bring this up because mine is on the list to get the COVID vaccine. So she's getting hers this week because she works for a medical company. All these companies are just kind of rolling in all their corporate staff. Like my siblings work for an alcohol company, and they've managed to convince people that because alcohol isn't an essential business, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Their corporate staff.
There's a difference between alcohol being essential and alcohol being an essential business.
Right. And so their corporate staff, like you understand, their corporate staff is being rushed in to get the vaccine. Same thing with Julie, with her company. We're currently, she had two options of vaccines to get. We're going out of town this weekend. And so with some friends, we're renting a place. And so the one option is tomorrow. And then the other option is Sunday, like when we get back.
Okay.
Now, her apprehension about going tomorrow is because if you get the vaccine, you have a possibility of having like the flu-like reaction for the next couple of days. And she doesn't want to risk ruining the trip. But the problem is that the one on Sunday, I'm not allowed to go with her. And Julie does not like shots. She's got a little bit of like a white coat syndrome.
Sure.
And so she asked me, which one do you think I should do? And I, in these situations, never like to give an opinion, mainly because I don't have an opinion. There's no need to weigh in on one or the other when I have no opinion. I reserve my firm opinion for things that matter to me. If it doesn't matter to me, I'm just going to lead you down both options and support whatever choice you make.
Right.
So what I said to her was, this happened literally like an hour before we got on the call. We were picking up food. She goes, all right, so which one do you think I should do? I said, well, it really depends upon you. Which are you more concerned about? The possibility of having the trip ruined because you might have flu-like symptoms or having to go to the hospital and get the shot by yourself.
So
not tomorrow. And that's the answer.
Well, what's the likelihood of flu-like symptoms?
I don't know. I think that it varies from person to person. I think it's more of a precaution, which is even if it's a 5 or 10% chance, you want to give everybody the heads up.
Sure. And is this first shot or second shot?
First shot. Oh, okay. So apparently the first shot's a little bit easier, right?
Yeah. Everyone who I've heard is suffering from something just got their second shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you really start to feel it.
But the cool news is, and I believe I mentioned this before, but if Julie gets the shot, given the fact that I've had this thing already and might have some built-in immunity, it looks like we will be traveling to the East Coast for her birthday in May. And we will be traveling to a little place called Bethesda, Maryland. I don't know if you've heard
of it. Oh, right. Fantastic. Well, May. Okay. So that's not far away.
Lock it in.
Time is a fat snorkel and doesn't really exist.
I don't want to get everybody too excited. You know,
well,
all 25 of you who are dedicated to listening to us.
I've looked at the analytics. We have, I think anywhere between 25 and 30 unique listeners.
You might be able
to. Very unique in that they actually listen to us.
Yeah. But you might be able to listen to us, not in separate locations.
Oh, wow.
Listen to us. Of course I do. We got to do an in-person recording.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I don't know why that thought didn't cross my mind immediately.
I was confused as you were surprised about it.
You mean we could do the show in the same place? Well, cool. Oh. All right. I'm in.
I mean, at that point, we should just spend an entire day and record like 6 episodes, start changing outfits, getting haircuts, just start doing weeks in advance.
That assumes people are watching the videos.
The videos? So I got some feedback. I got people who really enjoyed us talking about comparing different things, like food stuff.
Sure.
People found that really relatable. So I think going forward, if you're down for it, maybe we can take suggestions from those wonderfully unique listeners that are listening to us. If you happen to be listening to us from another country, we'll be more than happy to order the food or snack of your country. And you can
You should mention that. Someone from Austria listened to our podcast.
What?
Yes.
Finally.
In the breakdown, it's like 95% United States. We have about 3% or 4% from Great Britain.
Right.
And then less than 1% Austria.
That's amazing. Yeah, what's even more amazing is this is a genuine reaction to this information. You would assume that Jared and I talk about this shit when we're not recording a podcast.
But
because of the time zone difference and just general busyness with work and the fact that we only communicate over Facebook Messenger, literally before we start the podcast, we hit the record button so that we record every piece of communication once we get on.
We want every bit of genuine reaction.
That's right.
Genuine surprise from someone from Austria listening to us. That's a part of the package, I guess.
Austrian authenticity is what we really go for.
If there's some Austrian cuisine that you want us to check out, sure, we'll give it a go.
We were talking. Julie was like, "You should have you and him compare like In-N-Out to a East Coast equivalent of In-N-Out."
Oh, I don't know if there's an East Coast equivalent.
And I told her, I said, I don't believe there is.
I would, trust me, if there was an East Coast equivalent to In-N-Out, I would be in.
We live skipping distance to an In-N-Out. Like, it is less than a 5-minute car ride.
I'd love me some In-N-Out burger.
Right. And when I moved back to the East Coast, that was one of the big things that I really missed living in like the Maryland, DC area. I don't know why they won't push west. I do know why. They have such integrity with their product that everything is so fresh that they have, and I don't remember the actual number, but they will only open In-N-Outs within a certain mile radius of their distribution center so that they can quality control everything that's going out of there.
Yeah, I mean, that does make sense. Doesn't like Wendy's say it's fresh, never frozen or whatever. So my sister, back in the day, went to school at Washington University in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. It's a place. Anyway, so when she graduated, my father and I, we took the Anheuser-Busch tour.
Oh, okay.
And we had, straight from the source, Budweiser.
Classic Bud.
Yeah. It's fucking delicious. If it doesn't travel...
Yep.
You know, miles and miles away by truck.
Yep.
It actually ain't bad fresh.
Budweiser is a beer, and I forget what other brands do this, but no, I know the Budweiser is a beer. They actually water it down.
Thanks for solving that riddle.
It comes out as almost like the thickness of like an IPA, and then they water down the actual beer to get it to the Budweiser level.
It's a lager. It's not a...
No, I know. Does Bud... does Budweiser water, is Budweiser watered down? Lawsuit says Anheuser-Busch beers are even more watered down than you think. Former employees say at Anheuser-Busch breweries say that they routinely watered down popular beers such as Budweiser, Michelob Natural Ice, and Bud Light Premium. Yeah. Well, remember that band of conjure. Well, the internet said it.
Yeah.
The internet has its priorities straight right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. We want to, because remember, alcohol is essential.
Yes.
So we want to make sure you're not drinking watered down alcohol.
That was the weirdest thing being out in California for the first time, was going into a CVS and instinctually feeling like something was off initially, right? Because I would walk into a CVS and I was like, this feels bigger. Why does the CVS feel like a good 1/4 bigger or like 1/3 bigger than a traditional CVS? And I realized because 2.5 rows are dedicated to hard liquor, beer, and wine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I grew up in Pennsylvania, like just outside of Philadelphia, and you can only buy liquor and I think wine you can now, but you can only buy liquor at Wine and Beer Shoppes, Shoppe. And they're not open on Sundays.
Yeah,
exactly. So coming to California and realizing that you can buy alcohol and antidepressants in the same aisle is really a phenomenon.
Thought that was, they were one and the same anyway. I mean, that makes sense. You're going to put
They're medical. They're
medical. Also, they're both file under A.
For awesome.
For awesome. Yeah. So I'm very happy that I've come out on the other side of having no power.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
just to be clear, she's okay.
Oh yeah, she's fine.
Just making sure.
She's resting. She's bruised. she's basically recovering from whiplash. It's like she was in a,
yeah,
it was like she was in a car crash.
Yeah, I've taken those falls before, and they are brutal.
Yeah, I think I've done pretty well to not have fallen in my adult life.
Yeah,
recently or much at all. Like since I've been in my 40s, I've made it a point to not. Me and gravity have an understanding.
I feel like the moment I started, and I think we talked about this at one point, like I'm 38 and last year, I think was the year I really started feeling getting older. Mm-hmm. Right. I know that everybody above me has it worse. I'm not trying to compete with anybody.
Oh yeah. But like,
when your body starts to, I think last year, this year, and I originally attributed it to COVID, but I think it's a combination where like I can sleep a normal night, but I still could have slept wrong that night. And I could have a neck and arm pain for 4.5 days because of it.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I sleep perpendicular to the bed.
Right.
One thing that's been amazing since this past Friday, talked about it before. I'm super excited about it. The Muppet Show is on Disney Plus.
You are.
I am 6 episodes in and it is magical.
You are posting constantly about the Muppets on Facebook.
It's fantastic. It's so great. It's such a great time capsule. Because so the show was what? From 77 to 82.
Is that when it was?
I think that's when it says on the
That's on, insane. On the
I know,
it
right?
It ended the year I was born? Because I was born in 80.
Yeah. Okay.
That's insane. Because I grew up watching it. I didn't realize everything I was watching was
you know, rerun.
Reruns and syndication. I assumed that I was digesting some new material from them.
Nope. But it's just so great to see what showbiz was like, you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s. Because you got, so let's see, the ones that I watched, because I just went straight through, Rita Moreno, Sandy Duncan, Jim Nabors, Ruth Buzzy, Joel Grey, and Paul Williams.
For those,
how many of those
Austrian,
names do you recognize?
For those Austrian listeners who may not be around Jared's age, those are all people. famous people at a certain period of time in our existence.
How many of those people are you actually familiar with?
None.
You don't
not
know
a single
neighbors
one.
Is.
No, not a single person jumps out to me.
Gomer Pyle?
Golly.
Okay, no, I know Gomer Pyle. I just don't know the actor's name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ruth Buzzy was on Laugh-In.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Laugh-In was?
Jared, here's what I'm going to say to you. I am convinced that some of these names on this list you just made up.
No, I swear to God.
And if you didn't, I'm disappointed that you didn't make names up just to screw with me. Johnny Doorstep. You've never heard of...
Come on. Joel Grey was the original MC in the Broadway version of Cabaret.
I have one of the worst memories you could possibly imagine. So even if I knew this at one point, I can't guarantee it's
have you seen the movie Remo Williams, The Adventure Continues?
No.
Oh, you're killing me. You are killing me. Okay. Pieces of my soul. I feel like a piece of me is slowly dying.
I know. I can feel it coming off of you as well. It's tough to watch.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to share my Disney Plus login with you.
I have Disney Plus. I'll do
Then you,
what do you mean? I've been binging WandaVision. Like, I have
Okay, first of all, WandaVision comes out once a week.
That's valid.
And there's a new, it's not like they've dropped all 10 episodes and that you have to work your way through it. It's one every Friday. Okay.
I cannot
so you're
not
binging it.
I cannot wait until Julie listens to this because we were making a list of things we could talk about on the podcast and like compare and contrast. She was like, oh, what about TV shows that you both like? And she was like, oh, it's a shame you can't get Jared to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because we just finished watching all 7 seasons of that.
Oh, wow.
So when she listens to this, she's going to go, what is he talking about? And do we have to watch this together? And I'm going to make her watch it. I am going to make her watch it with me. I am.
So what's interesting about the show
Yeah.
And I guess you're going to view this with brand new eyes.
Yeah.
So like any first season of a show, nothing is like the stuff that you know of now is not set in stone yet.
Yeah.
Like if you watch the first season of The Simpsons.
Yes.
Characters sound different.
One, like, I think
Smithers is black. Like, you know, there's...
is he really?
Yeah. In the first season of The Simpsons, the first two, I think. So that like things change over time.
Yeah.
Like, the edges smooth out, that sort of thing. Like Miss Piggy's voice is different in the first couple episodes of The Muppet Show. Frank Oz like does the voice on and off on like two or three episodes. Her character is not quite as defined as, okay, you know, loving Kermit the Frog. She's just kind of like a side player to start off with. Gonzo's voice is all weird and they haven't really defined what he is yet.
Okay.
It's the opening of the show is different in a subtle way. It's just, it's really cool.
I'll go back and do it. I got nothing else to watch.
You really should. Besides, there's 118 episodes.
I'll do it.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I'll do it for you.
Please. You do it for yourself. Don't do it for me. This is not just for me, Jared Stern. Do this for you, Jared Stern.
Isn't it just enough that it's being done for one Jared Stern? Can I share this?
If only I could find some way to osmose this joy to you.
I'm still waiting for the moment when somebody asks me to do something or if I've seen something and I can just coyly pretend like I'm speaking in the third person and be like, Jared Stern loves the Muppet series. Jared Stern has seen every episode.
Well, here's what I would like. And it's just because the Muppets for me are such a part of who I am.
Yeah.
I would like us to be able to have a discussion about it that's not like football, where
where I'm pretending I know what I'm
pretending to understand what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay? Because I got to tell you, when we were on Captain Game Show,
oh my god,
and you could not tell me who Statler and Waldorf were. I died inside.
I was going to bring up Captain Game Show too, and this is a good pivot. Now that the episode has been released and we can talk about this.
Sure.
please, if you have not, go over to Captain Game Show, the podcast, watch the Valentine's Day special where you could see Jared and I.
Well, you wouldn't be watching it. You just
be listening to it. Sorry. Competing on the Valentine's Day couples episode.
Yes.
Where we compete against two married couples that are in a room together with each other.
And then us on either side of the
country. Either side of the coast. And even with limitations, and I won't spoil it for anybody, but even with the limitations that were put on us, just a nail biter of an ending.
Yeah.
Really, really well. And if I may say, one of the greatest differences between you and I.
Yeah.
The largest gap between us is your insane ability to spell. You are an exceptional speller, and I can only attribute it to what you learned watching The Muppets growing up.
Yeah.
Wait, am I thinking of... I'm thinking of Sesame Street, aren't I?
Oh my God.
And I worked at Sesame Place. I should be the good speller.
Yeah. Just a lot of episodes brought to you by all the various letters of the alphabet. I don't know why spelling is something that's just kind of comes natural to me, but
my lack of knowing the Muppets, all of this, sometimes I'll have this thought process, which is, if the multiverse is real, if parallel universes are real, if there are infinite universes all running parallel to each other, and there are infinite Jared Sterns out there, am I the most disappointing one of all? And the closest I've ever gotten to living that reality is your disappointment in me every time I talk about the Muppets. That's the closest I've gotten to that reality.
Okay. Well, listen, they're all widely available to you now. And I highly, highly recommend check it out. The other thing that was interesting about watching it, and also apparently I found this out because they put it up in front of a couple of the episodes that I watched. They put warnings in front of a couple of the episodes.
Warnings for what?
Well, because some of the jokes back then
Yeah.
Would be labeled slightly insensitive today.
Well, now you've piqued my interest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just kind of, you know, stuff that you would.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That would be considered like, you know, racially insensitive.
Right. I know. I gotcha.
Now, but back in 1977 was just kind of funny.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So
well, it, what it, a lot it, of people, the unfortunate thing about the cancel culture and comedy as an evolution is I fundamentally believe that comedy can be used to address controversial issues in an easier digestible way. So mm-hmm. while I do believe that there are insensitive jokes that have existed throughout time, there are also jokes that are designed to shine a light on an issue that needs to be addressed. And then once that issue is addressed, we move on from it. So,
well, this was just cheap laughs. Like this was not any kind of shining a light. This was just like, this word sounds funny. We're going to sing it. So yeah.
Without any other context for that, there's a list of words in my head that I hope it's not.
It's not, none of, no. Okay. Nothing like that. just like,
yeah. But I never felt that the Muppets ever had like a malicious play.
Oh no, there's not a malicious bone in, well, there's no bones anyway, but there's not a malicious bone in the Muppet Show's collective body.
It's more just, you know, yeah.
But one thing that I thought was interesting, there are so many things I think are interesting about this, because man, it was, I loved the show when I was a kid, and now to be able to view it again through adult eyes.
Yeah.
And now knowing how the Muppets work and knowing so much more about what happens behind the scenes and knowing more about the performers and the Jim Henson's legacy and all of that. But you go back and you see what kind of made Jim Henson tick and what he found funny. And the thing that made Jim Henson laugh and thereby, you know, reflect it onto the Muppet Show, there's so much slapstick comedy. There's mm-hmm. so much violence.
Yeah.
When cartoons and puppets do it, it's funny.
Yep.
So there's a lot of just like Muppets beating other Muppets on the head with a hammer mm-hmm. or a mallet or whatever. Muppets eating, swallowing other Muppets whole.
Well, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but I do recall, I don't know if I watched it or if I saw somebody compile it online, but maybe within the past couple of years, I saw a kind of a montage of like Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah.
And that shit was very adult.
Oh, yeah.
Hidden in children. I mean.
Well, but what Animaniacs was doing was making, like, bringing that stuff to the forefront.
Right.
Like where it had been subtle in the old school cartoons.
Yeah.
Animaniacs was a broad parody of that by actually mm-hmm. bringing that stuff to the forefront.
I meant to ask you before this podcast moves too far away from you and me.
Uh-huh.
There are like two other things that I wanted to kind of chat with you about as far as being a Jared Stern.
Okay.
One, nicknames growing up. Did people have nicknames for you?
I mean, the only obvious one was Jarhead. That was the one that I got a ton of in elementary school. Yeah.
Never got Jarhead. I got J-Rod.
J-Rod.
Instead of A-Rod.
Yeah, okay.
For people who enjoy the sports.
Yeah.
But
like you.
Right. What I really wanted to ask you about is did you have any experience with arguably, and there are a lot of them that can be put on the board at this point, but arguably the worst Jared of them all. Did you have any blowback from the Subway sandwich guy?
I mean, blowback, not really. I mean, I was, you know, doing stand-up at the time. So
yeah.
I made reference to it.
Yeah, you gotta.
But I prefer to think of myself as Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, as opposed to that. Yeah, no, I mean, the two pieces of me, you know, there was the Jared Subway, and then there was the Howard Stern.
Yeah, like, exactly.
So everyone thinks I'm related to Howard Stern. And my response to them is, God, I wish I was, I could use the money.
So that's your line?
Yeah.
So mine, when people ask me, are you related to Howard Stern? Mine was always, if I was, do you think I would be here having this conversation
sure,
with
right,
you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although I do have a connection to him.
You have a connection to Howard Stern?
I do have a connection to Howard Stern. We both worked at and got fired from the same radio station.
Hey.
Yeah, DC 101 here in DC.
That's right. I remember with Paul Giamatti, who will forever be pig vomit in my mind. So if I'm thinking of our age gap, I was in high school when the Jared the Subway Sandwich guy first came onto the market.
Sure.
And at first it wasn't bad, but then they gave him that song that his name is Jared. He's still looking good. So he lost the weight and then he kept the weight off. And I was right around like high school when he kept the weight off and there was a song, and God damn it, there needed to be a song because I was heavy in high school. I was a big kid in high school. And so they would sing that at me as I was walking down the hallway. His name is Jared. He's still looking good. And I distinctly remember thinking to myself, okay, well, it can't get any worse.
Oh, no, of course not.
And then life taught me a very important lesson because he disappeared. I was like, oh, he's gone. Good. And the life lesson was, just because you think something is gone does not mean it can't come back, and that it can't be much, much worse than you could have possibly imagined it being. There have been a couple of other Jareds that have stepped up and really taken the Jared spotlight. The problem with Jared, the Subway Sandwich guy, is not that he did anything uniquely different than anybody else terrible. It's that the name was so unique at the time. There weren't a lot of Jareds on the menu at that point. Well, you know, you got Jared Leto, who has ruined Joker for many people, and you have Jared Kushner, who is his own brand of terrible.
Sure.
You know, when people say, you know, Jared, you're one of the best Jareds I know, I explain to them, that's not much of a compliment.
That's a low bar.
It's a very low bar that you're setting for us.
Well, I'd like to think we're two of the best Jared Sterns around.
Not the only Jared Sterns.
No, but not the only Jared Sterns.
Some of the best.
Two of the best. Two of the best ones with a podcast.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Question for you then. Muppets are obviously a big thing for me. What was something that you built your childhood on? What is a founding core thing that imprinted on you?
That's a really good question. You know what had a real large impact on my childhood? And it was probably around like around 12 to maybe like around that area is when I first found it, was Star Trek.
Okay. The Next Generation
was really big for me. I think what really drew me to that show was this concept of how conflict arose, not from the inner turmoil within the cast members themselves, but external factors. And that's not to say that they didn't have the shows where people disagreed within the cast. But one of my things that I have with modern day storytelling is there's a lot of inner frustration between the regular cast members on whatever show you're watching.
Sure.
And the thing I really enjoyed about Star Trek and Roddenberry's idea of the future was like, we're all combined together to make things the best possible future for everyone together. I really like the life lessons and the morals of that they tried to imprint on people. Now, obviously, the newer Star Treks have just taken that and thrown it out the window. You know, now everybody fights together. Picard says fuck. Like everybody, like the modern Star Trek.
Did you watch the new Picard? Did you enjoy the new Picard?
I genuinely did. I really did. I think that. Did you watch Star Trek?
I watched Next Generation, and you know I also watched a lot of the original series, and the original series movies are among some of my favorite. Like Wrath-A-Khan can do no wrong.
100%.
So here's my question then. And sure. Because a lot of things that come out now that are trying to appeal to people in our age demographic, are just naked grabs at nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. I've only seen two or three shows or movies that have done nostalgia correctly. As far as a movie, Creed, fantastic.
Oh my God, yes.
So
Stallone knows his franchises better than maybe any executive producer that I've seen. He just knows how to tell his stories correctly. But I completely agree about Creed.
And TV show, Ash versus Evil Dead.
So I never was big into the original, and I never really saw the remake. So I can't really weigh in on that. But you're asking me, does Picard satisfy the same thing as those two things?
Yes.
I think what Picard did really well is it recognized how the last Next Generation movie failed to do justice to everything that came before. Because I've read a lot of online forums, and I've seen a lot of compare and contrast between like the Next Generation, the TV show, versus the Next Generation, the movies. Because they're entirely different cast members. Picard goes from being this like stoic, like very, you know, stern by the books captain, to being like this renegade who's going against the Federation. What I think it did really well was Gene Roddenberry had this very idealistic idea of the future, whether it was the original series. It was, we come together as a people, we eliminate famine, we eliminate disease, we eliminate hunger. Now our only conflict is trying to find a way to integrate with other cultures. And what I liked about Picard was it said, if you're not careful, you can lose that perfect utopia if somebody wants to come in and destroy it bad enough. And I think that we didn't do a lot of political stuff about the insurrection and all the other things with the Capitol, but how ahead of its time it was. You know, Picard occurred at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, that's when it aired. And a year later, essentially what happened to the Federation on Picard happened to democracy in the US.
Oh, wow. Okay. So see, you've never seen The Muppet Show. I've never seen Picard. So okay. I don't know anything of the plot details. I know they brought back Data. I know they brought back all the actors. I never got a chance to.
So the whole idea is the Federation was infiltrated by Romulans.
Okay.
And we're pretending to be Federation, Federation people to undermine and overthrow the Federation. And it feels very similar to kind of the idea that not all cops are terrible, but, and I've said this for years, you know, people are like, well, not all politicians are terrible. You can't say that. I said, look, if you want power, if that's your objective, whether for good or for evil, you will gravitate and choose professions that give you power. It is absurd to say that only good people become politicians, or only good people become cops. If you are evil and you want power, you will you can pretend to be good so that you can get power to do evil things.
Sure.
And that's essentially what Picard did. Picard left the Federation and then came back 20 years later because of something that happened. And he was shocked to see what it had become, because so many people who wanted that power manipulated themselves into that position.
Okay.
So for me, it satisfied something for me. I'm trying to think if there's anything that really nailed it that way, though. Like, I get what you're saying, and I'm trying to think. Because the Muppets didn't. We've talked about this.
They missed the entire tone of what the Muppets are supposed to be. That's the other reason why I'm really happy that. And I promise I'm not going to keep going back to it, but it's just so nice to see it in its pure form. It's back when all the voices were right, because a lot of the performers are they're dead now. So it's nice to hear Kermit talk like Kermit. It's nice to hear Statler and Waldorf sound right. It's
good old
nice.
Statler and Waldorf.
Good old Statler and Waldorf. God damn, you know, really. Oh boy, I'm going to keep getting mad every time.
I rarely see you get uncomfortably upset on camera too. You know, I'm the one who's twitchy constantly and moving around. You are stationary until I fuck up their two names, and then you're like, okay, you know what? I just need a minute. I'll try and think if there's anything else. That Creed probably would have been the best example of something I could have come up with.
Well done. It embraced what it was and moved all those characters forward, and didn't just do it for what we wrestling fans like to call cheap pop. They tried to give it substance, and especially for a series that didn't have a lot of substance to it, especially for a series in which Rocky 3 and 4 existed.
You know what? Something I've started watching recently, and I really binge watched the whole thing. I think Creed is better, but have you watched Cobra Kai yet?
I have not. It's on my list and I hear it's fantastic. And
so
it's on the list.
I think we found it. Okay. I will do Muppets. You got to do Cobra Kai. Now,
okay.
Understand that I told my dad the following thing. I said, I want you to go to Netflix, sign in. I need you to watch the first episode. If you don't want to watch it after the first episode, no harm, no foul. He binged 2 seasons in, I think, 3.5 days. Like it took him 3.5 or 4 days to get through 2 seasons. I have never suggested anything to this man that he loved as much as that show. And, you know, the themes are great. It's a show that's similar to Creed, which is it doesn't do the cheap stuff. It addresses the past, but moves the characters forward. And I think you put it really well. Yeah.
I am super impressed with how the two, Macchio and Zabka, look. They're both damn near 60.
Just wait. They move too. I mean, it's one of those things where Cobra Kai was on my list for a while. And it was just one random night, probably about 3 or 4 months ago. I was just sitting at home. It was like 8:30 at night. And I needed something. And I put it on and I could not stop. I couldn't stop watching it. Yeah, highly recommend it.
I'm very sorry that like a good half an hour of this has just been me railing about you not being up on your Muppet information.
This makes it into the podcast, as he's apologizing for this, please understand that Jared is the one who edits the audio version of this. So if it stays in here, it's Jared who is not only apologizing for it, but also keeping it in there so it's a half an hour. But here's the thing. Look, I understand what it's like to have nostalgia for childhood things. And to me, I don't take your reactions as you railing against me, but instead you wanting to share your passions for something.
Yes. Yes. Like, listen, the whole concept of this podcast is we are two of a different kind of the same person. You know,
yeah.
I like to think two different alternate universe versions of Jared Stern. And it would mean a lot to me if we shared a passion for something that makes me so goddamn happy.
I am happy to share that passion with you. Honored.
Okay. All right.
And so next week, I'll start it. Next week, okay. Next podcast.
I'll have at least an episode of Cobra Kai under my belt, and you should have at least.
How long are the Muppets episodes?
Half an hour. And you have to promise me something.
Yeah.
You cannot hit skip intro or skip credits at the end.
Okay.
You have to watch the opening.
I'll go through the whole thing.
Because they're unique.
Okay.
To every show. And it's
really
the theme song is part of the magic.
I like
it. So don't skip it. I don't even know why Disney Plus included the skip button. It's blasphemy.
I will not skip. I will not jump. I will watch the whole thing through.
Okay. And then you have to genuinely tell me if you know who the fuck these people are that are the guest stars of the show.
I can 100% guarantee you that I'm not going to know who anyone is, but I'm going to learn them with you together.
You kind of know who like Rita Moreno is though, right?
I probably know the face, but I don't know the name, if I'm being honest. Okay. Like that seems to be something that, like, if I see them, I'll be like, oh, that person.
Okay. I'm going to stop making this a thing. But seriously, I'm looking forward to seeing what you think of it.
For those of you listening, years from now, when this converts to a purely The Muppets podcast.
Hey, there's 118 episodes. We could do an episode... we could go one for one and get quite a bit out of this.
I wish there were outtakes footage of us still recording and you pitching me that it should be a Muppets podcast. It's like, no, hear me out, Jared. No two Jared Sterns have ever reviewed the Muppets. Right. Okay. Like it's a niche within a niche. It's the Russian nesting dolls of niches.
Listen, it's just one of the many things that you can find right here between
two sterns.
We didn't get it. No.
I had it with you. Was it not exact?
No, not even remotely.
We can go back. How much have I drank? We can go back to the footage.
You were right after. You were after me.
I was so excited.
Is there that much lag?
I don't know. I thought it was there. This is going to be one of those things where we go to the tape after we stop recording. But regardless, that's the end of the podcast. We're out at this point.
Well, they did improve the level of television entertainment.
Well, they had no place to go but up.